The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13.
Praise and glory to God.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Lord.
Please take a seat. Well, it's a great pleasure to invite Becky up to speak to us today. And we're going to pray for her before she starts. This is Becky Wysocki. She's going to be giving us our word today. Lord God, we do thank you for all the things that you are doing in and through Becky here at St. Margaret's. We ask that you would use her today to inspire us all with your vision for the youth, for this church. Speak to us through her. We ask that you give her courage, boldness, compassion, and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just get that. This guy. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Becky and I'm the youth pastor here at St. Margaret's. Over the past few weeks, you would have heard from Fraser regarding his overarching vision for the whole church. Last week, you were lucky enough to hear from Paul regarding children and families. And this morning, it's my privilege to share with you about youth and young people at this church. But before that, let's prove how many young people we have at this church by revealing to you a video.
I can feel it.
looks like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's lots of fun. That aside, the place I felt it best to start with you this morning is back when I was a teenager. When I came to know the Lord, I was 16. I had spent a few years really battling, trying to discover who I was. I spent a lot of time with a group of people who didn't bring out the best in me. I spent my early teenage years very lost. When I became a Christian, suddenly everything changed. Suddenly my life had meaning, and I was surrounded by this unfathomable love that could only come from God himself. How did I become a Christian at 16? I was invited along to Friday Night Youth Group. I am an example of a youth pastor's success story. I had friends who took the initiative and the time to ask me to join them. I went along, and what I discovered was amazing. They didn't have super high-tech sounds or fancy lights, incredible speakers or amazing food. But what they did have was a safe space where you could come, belong, experience genuine relationship and care. My youth pastor was unafraid to be hilarious one moment and speaking directly to your core, calling out your potential the next. My youth leaders cared so deeply for me that even while one of them was on exchange in Canada, she sent me emails for months checking in on me. My friends were a source of weekly encouragement. We journeyed biblical content and themes together, and in them I saw the face of Jesus and I couldn't look away. See, the very reason I stand before you today is because I know that this model, it works. Young people today face more than you realize. As a previous frontline community worker, I know just how much our youth are experiencing in today's society. As a high school youth worker, my role was to support 40 students to achieve NCA Level 1 and 2. It became clear to me quite quickly that education was a faraway thought for those who had parents addicted to crack, for young people whose parents prioritised alcohol over food in the cupboard, and for one young girl whose sister was being dragged through the courts for murdering their stepdad, for pregnant 16-year-olds with the fathers of their babies being members of the mongrel mob, and for one young girl who had found her father after he had committed suicide. Or the sea of young people who smoke weed daily just to block out the life that they have been dealt. If we take those young people and we examine the opportunity that I had to achieve anything for them, we can see that that may leave one wondering, what can you do? I simply created a safe space in my office. I became a constant source of encouragement, a listening ear, and a supportive person in their life. Someone suddenly who was on their side saying, yes, you can do this. I was able to provide alternative housing for some, support and pay for them to gain their licenses, clothe, feed, and cheer them on. But I still felt there was something missing, the conversation of a God that loved them immeasurably and unconditionally, the unexplainable comfort of prayer. If we look at a young person and we look at them holistically, we see that when one major pillar in their life was weak, the whole self becomes weak. What I noticed in my community youth work was that it didn't matter if I could clothe, house and feed a young person, bridge and mend relationships with the family and their peers, if we couldn't delve into spirituality, the life force that brings depth and meaning to life. A relationship with Jesus defines our very self. Who we are is found in him. Where we are going suddenly takes shape. Who we want to be begins to form and grow in the shelter of his wings. So, we have a vision, therefore, to create lifelong followers of Jesus through spaces of belonging, relationship, and care, to make the gospel accessible to all, to encourage a multicultural youth community of believers from different backgrounds. So, this is your personal invitation into that vision's fruition. We must see the young person holistically and journey with them as our whole selves, inviting them to be part of our whole church community and the narrative of Jesus' healing power in their lives. For a church committed to making Jesus known and seeing lives transformed, this aligns perfectly. So if you turn your Bibles to Mark 2, 13 to 17, we read the story of when Levi decided to follow Jesus. Jesus went to the lake again, and many people followed him there. So Jesus taught them. He was walking beside the lake, and he saw a man named Levi, son of Alphaeus. Levi was sitting at his place for collecting taxes. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Then Levi stood up and followed Jesus. Later that day, Jesus and his followers ate at Levi's house. There were also many tax collectors and others with bad reputations eating with them. There were many of these people who followed Jesus.
When some teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw Jesus eating with such bad people, they asked his followers, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "It is the sick people who need a doctor, not those who are healthy. I did not come to invite good people, I came to invite sinners." When we read the Gospels, we are constantly reminded that Jesus came to serve the poor, the hungry, those needing housing and those needing clothes. He came to minister to the sick, the sinners. Around his table sat the sick and the sinners. If we imagine our youth group as a table and Jesus is sitting at it with us, we need to truly reflect our community. Currently, I can say we are doing so well at representing that. We have a thriving multicultural youth group here at St. Margaret's. We have young people who know their Bibles better than I do, and we have young people who don't know how to look up a verse, but all are welcome with us. So, how do we create lifelong followers of Jesus with this vision? One, we build belonging. Young people need to find a safe space to belong to, a positive space with like-minded peers. That's what we try to do every time that we meet. We try to create that type of space. Last year, we worked on building team relationships, and I had to get to know a whole group of new, great young people as we built on the foundations of belonging. We moved the youth space to under the church so that the young people had a space of their own. What was once an empty basement is now a lively functioning space where we creatively pray, worship and fellowship together. My hope is that this space that we spend time in together weekly is non-threatening, where we can come, lay our burdens down and seek refuge from life through prayer. We use this space for multiple groups in different ways. Our main group is called Surge, to signify a powerful movement. It is like a self-fulfilling prophecy that this movement has been gained, and this group has grown from around 15 to 40 young people per week. Surge means a powerful movement, and we often use this metaphor as of water to illustrate what we are experiencing God do with us. We meet every Friday and come together in a safe, neutral space to explore biblical themes, have creative prayer, and journey weekly. But I'd like to encourage us that while that space exists, we all have the opportunity to build a place of belonging. Our youth and their friends are welcome here. How we respond to young people will tell them if they believe that they belong in the church. So please don't be shy. Engage with our young people. Come alongside them. Get to know them. You will be surprised at how encouraging and life-giving the relationship can be. Take the opportunity to sit with someone on Sunday morning, or I invite you personally to come along to Tuesday and get to know our seniors over dinner. Wouldn't that be the perfect illustration of the scripture that we just read in Mark 2, all coming together to share food and in the goodness of God through experiencing Jesus through relationship? Secondly, we aim to be building relationships. Now that we have that space of belonging, this year our focus is on relationship. It is our hope that each young person in our youth group would feel connected to their leaders. Our leadership team is made up of creative, intelligent and kind young adults who give up their time every week to come and serve our young people and our God. We are resourcing this group so that they may mentor our youth more closely and form relationships that tie us together. Relationships where we can weekly come to see the face of Jesus in one another and support each other through the ups and downs of life. Our vision is that as we grow, we have a team of leaders who will see the value of connecting with our young people and giving them a sense of value through a healthy, positive relationship of mentoring. We all value relationships right across the ages, from children to youth to adults to seniors, and your wisdom and grace and patience is needed. Our young people might be a little bit boisterous, but they will grow into strong young women and men of faith as they find their place amongst us. This can most effectively be done as we all take the time to build relationships. In 5 years' time, I do hope our numbers have grown. Not because numbers are important, because it would be just as worthwhile to do this for one young person as it is for 10. But because that would indicate that our young people believe coming to learn about Jesus is valuable enough to invite their friends to step into that too. Intergenerational relationships are key. With our relationship focus, I would love to see more young people becoming part of mentoring relationships with people that they might otherwise not get to know. We currently have Austin as our bold intern, and when I had to link him with a mentor, I chose Greg. It has been such an encouragement to see this relationship thrive and flourish and see these two get along so well and learn so much from each other. So if I can invite you to take some time right now just to close your eyes and recall back to the start of your walk with Jesus. For many of us, it was in this vital youth age. Remember those around you who embodied what it looked like to follow Jesus. Remember those who prayed for you and with you. Remember what it felt like to be so encouraged. Would you be interested in encouraging another that way? I am inviting you to consider becoming a mentor to one of our young people. You could meet monthly or fortnightly and share a drink together. You could do a Bible study or simply journey in friendship and pray for needs as they arise. Think back on all those key moments in your faith. The times when the Holy Spirit moved in your life. The times when Scripture spoke life into your lungs. Or the times when you learnt the importance of prayer. How much more powerful are all of those stories when they're shared? If your eyes are shut, you can open them now. Thirdly, we are looking to purposely build care. I am completely humbled and excited to work for a church that has started a life skills program. Unafraid to look at the whole person and say, Jesus loves you every inch. And as a body of Christ, we can come together and share skills that we have to equip one another and love one another. Now that's what I consider to be making Jesus known and seeing lives transformed. And it makes me think of the story of the hemorrhaging woman. If you'd like to follow me in your Bibles, please turn to Mark 5, 25 to 34. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and she touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. In the same way, I feel a sense of responsibility with our youth group that we simply cannot just look at a young person's faith and ignore everything else. We must be a community of people brave enough to look at the home. Is home okay? Is school all right? How is your self-confidence, your broken relationships? Is there food in your cupboard? And be brave enough to meet their families and invite them into Jesus' new narrative for their child's life. Jesus had a choice. The woman had already been healed physically, and yet he turned to acknowledge her publicly. He knew a woman bleeding for so many years would have been an outcast in society. Yet he chose to restore not only her physical self, but also her social status by acknowledging her in that public setting. This reveals Jesus' heart for us is to transform our whole lives, not just pieces of it. He sees us as a whole. He sees the parts of our lives and how they correspond to work together for our good. When we are in caring relationships with one another, it is almost second nature to know whether or not someone is struggling financially or emotionally, whether they need help to put food on the table or to take care of themselves better. And once we are involved in deeply caring for each other, that is when the needs are revealed. And we each have an opportunity to respond. If food is an issue, how can we each give a little bit to share it all around? If someone's under immense pressure, how can we work to relieve the load? So lastly, we want to be making sure that this gospel message is accessible to all. This is where this idea is really important. We need to be committed to being a home for those who are broken, those who are in stable homes, and everything in between. I can recall my teenage years, and I personally remember the amount of brokenness that I experienced and encountered both in myself and in others. It is such a vital time that our young people encounter people who genuinely care for them and can call out the potential that they see in them that they may not be able to see. The reading we had before was Isaiah 58, 6 to 12. And Isaiah says, when we do this, then our light shines and then we become repairers of broken walls. what I'm starting to think now is looking strategically into the future and reaching into our high schools. How can we do that? Are there any people in this congregation who have connections with high schools that we can approach them and ask them, what are your needs and how have we, can we be of assistance? In my previous role, I ran a breakfast club at a low decile school. It's simply one idea, but we could give hands and feet to this gospel message, to this very scripture, by approaching our local schools and asking, can we facilitate a breakfast club? Can we feed the hungry and breathe life into an active gospel? The movement that we have during Friday Night Youth Group is so encouraging. To have witnessed a group grow from 15 to 40 in 1 year has been wonderful. And I am sure that God has plans to grow us and this group in 2017, and we are ready to receive that growth. I hope and pray that next year I'll be speaking to you about even more growth and that our youth will be well over 60 in number. With the growth that we've achieved so far, we have already made adjustments to our program, and now we have three functioning ministries. Surge is for all on Fridays. Absorb is our junior-aged intermediate program, and Immerse is for our seniors. With further growth, we will see a full split of Surge and the creation of an intermediates program and a high schoolers program on a Friday night. So, how can you all support this growing work? Prayer support. Pray for us. We need committed prayers who are willing to pray for our protection, to strengthen our relationships, and keep us safe in all of our spheres. Join our prayer chain and receive regular updates of specific requests that we may have, or commit to praying for us at those scheduled times that we meet in order to maximise whatever God is trying to do with us at that time. Support our art auction. We have an art auction coming up and we hope to fundraise enough to purchase our youth group hoodies. These will further build on our sense of belonging. As a group, we will be able to wear them to camps and combined events and really represent our youth group. Supper support. You could be one of our legendary bakers. For youth group on Fridays, we're in constant need of helpers to make supper for us. As our group grows in size, we need more and more food and drink. You could join our roster and support us practically in this way. Or you could host us. If you felt like opening your home to us, you could become a part of our annual progressive dinner. Or do you have something on your heart to share with us? You could come along and give a testimony or be a guest preacher. This is another way that we can support our goal of intergenerational relationships for 2017. I personally believe that this is what God has implanted in my heart for us as a church. And as you know, he's called me to be a part of seeing that happen. So will you join me as we make Jesus known and see lives transformed? Now, I'd like to leave us with a prayer. If you could all join me, that'd be great. Loving God, we pray for young people and their happiness. Birthday parties, summer picnics and barbecues. Young people loved by parents and friends. Young people secure in the bonds of family life. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know you love them. We pray for young people who are unhappy. Young people made insecure because their parents argue. Young people who feel left out in a crowd. Young people who are bullied, teased, and pushed to the edge of the group. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know you love them. We pray for young people who live in the world's danger spots. Young people who experience warfare and enmity as a daily event. Young people who have watched their homes destroyed, their parents hurt or killed. Young people who have never known what it means to relax and chill out. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know that you love them. We pray for young people who are living in poverty, young people who wake up hungry and go to bed feeling lonely, young people who sleep on the street, young people struggling to achieve their potential. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know that you love them. We pray for young people who have disabilities or who are ill, young people who need support to live from day to day, young people whose lives are frequently interrupted by trips to and from hospital, young people who each celebrate their own personal achievements. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know that you love them. We pray for young people with a caring responsibility in the home, where without their contribution the family just wouldn't work. Young people who cannot meet friends because they are caring for a relative. Young people who take on extra responsibility. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know that you love them. We pray for young people in education, young people who find school easy and need to find a challenge, young people who struggle in formal education, young people who find themselves not in education, employment or training. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know that you love them. We pray for adults who are committed to the care and development of young people, for organisations who work with and support young people, for those who voluntarily give time, money, love and care to young people. We pray for Christian youth work, that it may help young people to feel happier, more confident and more loved. We pray for our youth group, that it may become a place where young people may safely and confidently grow in love and in faith. These are your young people and we pray for them. We know that you love them. We pray this and all of our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.